in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Couple of comments about the emergency department. The ambulance bay is in the back. Well, again, the public comes in the front, ambulances come in the back. It's a four-truck bay. So there's a separation of acuity. So if you come in by ambulance, you're literally going to stay on the back half of the ED. If you walk in, you'll stay on the front half. Talked a while ago about proximity. So if I come in by ambulance, the first thing you come to are the two trauma rooms. So again, that is critical to that patient, and it reduces the amount of time to receive treatment.
This is John Porter. He's the vice president for the building of the new hospital at Baptist at Brent Lane and 110. Of course, they're moving completely starting a week from Saturday. They're going to basically close down the ER, the ED as he calls it, the emergency department, and they're going to open the one at Brent Lane simultaneously, and then we have a couple of hours, a day-long migration of all the patients and an ambulance parade. About 15 ambulances are going to be used for that. And after, 50 years at the old location, I think that's right. I could be wrong. Excuse me if I am. They're moving to the new location, a $654 million project, expansion of rooms, capability. Everything is new, pretty, and honestly, is beautiful. But one of the things that they were talking about that I found particularly interesting is, you know, we've talked about Baker Act, okay? And this is a very, very challenging area of medicine.
Speak from experience.
Yeah. And, you know, how to handle them. Well, when you're in the emergency area, there's a separate, completely isolated Baker Act area. It's separated from everything. I mean, he's talking about the ambulances coming in the back and having the trauma rooms right there and taking care of them, and that's true. But you also have a Baker Act area, and he talked pretty extensively about this. By the way, there's a full-length video, like 45-minute-long video that I posted on our Facebook page if you want to get a walkthrough of the hospital. But anyway, this is some of the things about the Baker Act facility that they've created there.
So this is obviously a completely different design, very special unit for special patients with special needs. But this is a secure unit, so a Baker Act patient would come in typically by law enforcement. And a Baker Act patient is at risk for either hurting themselves or hurting someone else, so they're brought in to be evaluated. There are two design objectives to this unit. One is make it tamper-proof. So these patients come in, they're angry, they're abusive, and they will do their best to destroy property. So if you went into a room, you would see everything is tamper-proof. You have your plumbing, and there's a door that comes down and protects that. You have your medical gases, but there's a door that comes up and locks to protect that. You have TVs, but they're in a protective case. So again, it is to make it where we protect our stuff from a patient abusive.
I mean, they're rooms that are, you know, you got a lot of expensive equipment in there, but it all locks up. And it not just that it locks up, but it also, it's all designed around preventing that person from harming themselves, too.
The second objective is to make it safe for the patient, so ligature risk-free. There's nothing in this unit where a patient can loop or hang something on something and then use that to harm themselves. If you look at the door hardware, everything is rounded. There's nothing that can be used for something like that. So again, a very special unit for a very special patient.
And it really is. It, like, the doors are completely different. They're not even like regular open closed doors. They're like sliding doors that go all the way to the floor, to the ceiling, because it's a whole different system designed to be. Can't use it to, and I hate to be blunt about this, but you can't use it to hang yourself. You know, you can't use it to cut yourself. I mean, all of that kind of stuff. It's a I mean, it's a completely different design. And Jen Grove, who was there, was talking about the future of the intake facility. We're kind of working on this. Remember, this has been a problem because West Florida had raised the issue and, you know, trying to figure out who's responsible for and, you know, who's going to handle which thing. Anyway, she explained kind of what the future holds right now.
Some of you have covered stories about the new central receiving facility system that we'll have in this community. Thanks to our legislative delegation, we do have now a sustainable funding for a central receiving two facility system. And as Allison Hill and her Lakeview team are opening up the adult central receiving facility, and when that happens, this will remain. We still receive all child and adolescents. Then we will become the sole child and adolescent central receiving facility. So only anybody up to age 18, the day before you turn 18, would come here in the future, and then anybody 18 and older would go to the Lakeview facility. So that'll be huge.
So they really, I mean, we're really on a path towards having a well-designed future for this. And like I said, the facility is kind of amazing. I'll come back to this in just a second because I have more to tell you about. I got a good correction in from one of my friends at Baptist. Said, 72 years, not 50. So thank you. I appreciate the correction. They've been there for 72 years at that current facility. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or accidents. As I mentioned, 98 accident-free, not showing any issues there. Taking a look on the west side, dog track clear. No issues on Blue Angel Parkway this morning. Gulf Beach Highway also not showing any delays. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. You know, if you have a business and you have employees, you got to deal with benefits, okay, and, you know, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, all of that kind of stuff. Torgerson Causey, they can help you out. They can take care of you. They will come in and advise you on maybe a better way to do things than you're already doing, a way to save money, a way to give your employees better options. And I know because we started working with them about 6 years ago here at Cat Country and News Radio, and they've been fantastic. They gave us choices we didn't have before. They gave us customer service we didn't know was available before. You know, it did really seriously big difference and just kind of made our lives easier. And I assume the lives of our bosses easier. So all to the good. A comprehensive employee benefits agency, Torgerson Causey, more than 20 years helping businesses like yours. Call them today. No obligation. They'll come in and look and see if they can help. 433-9996 or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Back to the conversation about the Baptist hospital, which is gorgeous. I had only been in there, gosh, how long has it been now? 6 months, 9 months, something like that ago, when it was hard hat stuff, right? Like it was, you know, we started to see the outlines, but not, you know, you saw that they had the Florida ceiling glass windows, okay, which was great. And you saw that they protected the trees, which was great. But now it's like, oh my God, all the stuff that they have put into this, including some of the byproducts of COVID, are very interesting in terms of what they have prepared for in the we hope never situation where we have to deal with, you know, infectious diseases and pandemics and lots of people coming in with this. Again, John Porter talking about the isolation rooms at the new facility.
We were at a point in design when COVID was at its absolute ugliest, and the world was in a panic, and we were trying to figure it out. If you were at E Street at that time, we were running ductwork, trying to get negative pressure, isolation rooms, et cetera, to bring on the much-needed capacity for those types of patients. So we said, we can pause, we can do some redesign. What would you want to do different? Well, what we did not have was enough isolation, enough protection. With the push of a button, we brought in mechanical systems that allow us, with the push of a button, we can turn half of the ED into a negative pressure COVID side, and the other half stays on positive non-COVID, protects patients, team members, et cetera. And again, literally with the push of a button. Then we said, well, what else do you need? Well, we need more traditional isolation rooms. So by code, you have to have four isolation rooms per floor. And we have those third, fourth, all the way up through the bed tower.
But he was saying they also have the capacity to bring in almost like a bunk style so they can double their capacity. But that, I mean, just think about that. Basically, as he said, with the push of a button, they can put 30 emergency rooms into negative pressure isolation containment for a contagious infectious disease outbreak. That's phenomenal, and we hope they never have to use it. But, you know, better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And, you know, one of the things that it's kind of become this conversation about, like, well, what about the people who live around the current facility on Moreno Street? You know, what about the people, the communities there that have come to depend on Baptist? I know Baptist cares about that. But I find it, it strikes me as weird because the question was never even possible. Like, they looked into staying at that facility, you know, and it just wasn't feasible. It just didn't work. And so they went to this. In fact, they, you know, they were looking at, Mark Faulkner was saying that they were looking at, like, Beulah was really where the strategy said, go there, because that's where all the growth is and that's where the future. He's like, well, that's not really our mission. Let's kind of find a halfway, so to speak. And, you know, the idea of staying where they were was just not an option. And they decided to go to Brent Lane in 110, which makes perfect sense to me. But I get that the people who live around Moreno Street are frustrated or disappointed or feel like they're losing something. And to be fair, they are. Okay? I mean, sure, they are. But I don't think you're entitled to keep a medical facility in your neighborhood just because it's been there for a long time. You know, Baptist has to do what makes sense for the whole community and what makes sense for them. And if that means moving to this new location to get all of the things done that they want to do for the future, well, I get that you might be missing out, but you weren't entitled for them to do a thing they couldn't do, which was to stay where they couldn't stay forever, you know? And I've come up with an acronym, something I've never encountered before in politics, which is that, you know, we talk about NIMBYs. Okay, not in my backyard. Don't build it here. It's a bad thing. Don't put the dump here. Don't put the wastewater treatment plant here. Don't put the nuclear power plant here. You know, people don't want the bad thing in their neighborhood because it's going to, you know, bring down property values or whatever. And this is kind of the opposite of that. And I've come up with my term for it is Kimby's, which is when you've got a good thing in your backyard, keep it in my backyard, right? Don't let it leave. And I understand the sentiment. I understand both sentiments, but again, it almost feels like maybe just be glad that they did it for so long in a place that was really not functional for the way they needed it to be for a long time, instead of like griping that you're losing a thing that is going to benefit the whole community. So, and also remember, I mean, Baptist is all like locally owned, locally operated, locally, all these decisions are, you know, made here. In fact, Mark Faulkner talked about this, you know, who owns it, who runs it.
So most healthcare systems are owned by national chains, either not-for-profit with headquarters away from the community, or they're owned by shareholders as part of national conglomerates. We're different. We are of this community and for this community. We're governed by volunteers on our board that are members of this community. And so people ask, who owns Baptist? Well, literally the community owns Baptist. And so the community is you and the community is me and it's everyone. And so when we make decisions not on behalf of shareholders and not on behalf of a headquarters. We make decisions with the lens of what's best for the community. And I think this campus is the embodiment of that.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. To me, I'm grateful there's a Baptist. You know what I mean? And if they're going to move 2 miles across town, you know, and be in a better location, have more facilities and more capability and on and on and on, that's a win. I get that if you lose a thing right in your backyard, you're upset about that, but you know, not everybody is entitled to get everything that they want all the time at the expense of a better thing that could be available for the entire community. So, I don't know. That's my take on it. 723 here on News Radio. I got caught between giving a phone number and giving the time. Call me at 437. You know, 437-1620 is the phone number. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the one thing God will not forgive? After all, the Bible plainly explains that if we seek God's forgiveness, He will forgive sins such as lust, lying, and even murder. But the one sin that God will not forgive is the sin of unbelief. To refuse to believe in Jesus' virgin birth, or His sinless life, or His substitutionary death, or His resurrection from the dead, or to refuse to believe anything that the Scripture declares about Jesus is to consign your own soul to an eternal hell. The good news of the gospel is a message of forgiveness of sin, but again, the one sin that God will not forgive is unbelief. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Can I tell you one more thing? You got an all-out prize fight, you wait till the fight's over, one guy's left standing, and that's how you know who won.
Doing shoulder rolls, and Candy's got the wiggle wave going on. It's good.
I know this dance, dude. This movie came out before I was born, of course, but
we are both going to be sore tomorrow from that 18 seconds worth of strenuous aerobicize.
That's what happens after you hit 50. It's like I threw my shoulder out. How? Yep. Yawning.
Well, the worst. Yawning. I was shielding
Take
my eyes
Baptist.
From the sun. Did you? Yeah, take me to Baptist.
I know,
give me
I
a north facing
go to the
room.
Pregnancy suite.
Give me the birthing tub.
Give me the hot tub and a couch.
I don't think
they should
rent
that out.
Tubs.
Whatever.
Oh, man. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I do my walk. I'm old. Okay, as we take a look around, there's an accident. This is Pine Forest and Copeland. God, I'm out of breath now. I don't even do anything. But it's not showing a roadblock. That's the only issues that we see right now. Certainly use caution there. Flashing light at Cervantes and 17th. Yellow has right away. Of course, red, it is a complete stop, but better be safe than be right. You know what I mean? And two sheriff's patrol vehicles on Barrancas right at Outcast right now at the bait store. Flashing lights, not sure what's going on. It might be the Outcast sale, though.
Oh,
now that I say that, I think that's what it is, because there it does
every year
back
it catches
up on
by surprise,
and
yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I think it starts tomorrow, but that might be what that is. But listen, if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And the funny part is, like on Saturday, you're gonna be like, "Man, I'm so sore. What happened?" And you have to remember, what was the thing I did 3 or 4 days ago to make this happen? David's
so
in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
More than 200 passengers on a cruise ship that ran aground in Greenland are going to be stuck until at least tomorrow.
Overnight, the cruise company Aurora Expeditions confirming 3 of the passengers have COVID-19, are in isolation, and are doing well. The ship, on a luxury cruise to the Arctic, ran aground Monday during low tide.
Sure be bad to be
stuck
on a luxury cruise, wouldn't it?
They'd
be terrible.
They ran aground and they've got COVID on board?
Yeah, they got it all.
You know there's the trifecta of cruise lines is coming, right? And it has to do with the result of not eating the right food. I'm just saying that bad things, I feel like the third leg of this stool is...
It's going to be one big home game situation.
Man, yeah. Go ahead,
and
David.
The Danish military says there's no injuries on that ship, aside from the cases of COVID, apparently.
Wait, back up.
Yeah.
The Danes have a military? No, go ahead.
Rescue ships won't be able to.
Anyway, go ahead.
Rescue ships won't be able to get to him until tomorrow. South Carolina attorney and convicted murderer Alex Murdaugh is back in court, now facing financial fraud charges for allegedly stealing insurance payments meant for a family housekeeper. Of course, he was convicted in 2021 of murdering his wife and son. And NASA astronaut Frank Rubio now holds the record for the longest orbit mission by an American. He passed 355 days on the International Space Station this week.
I thought the, who are the brothers? The brothers, the one that was this married to Gabby Giffords. I thought he had the long, and I thought it was like a year and a half. Maybe that's a different category.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I'm not sure, man. You know, digging deep in the memory banks here, and I don't claim to have the knowledge fresh to hand. Hey, when we come up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer from the Pensacola Police Department. And by the way, you hear me talking about Sacred. There's a big, long video on the Facebook if you want to see. Oh, and the Brentwood Park on Palafox is closed for construction for the new tax collector's office, the homeless park.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says he's not focused on House Republicans' efforts to impeach him.
Biden told Democratic donors outside the nation's capital, quote, I don't know quite why, but they just knew they wanted to impeach me. And now, the best I can tell, they want to impeach me because they want to shut down the government.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson.
You see a culture of corruption. We are going to get the answers to these questions.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tells Fox's Sean Hannity the impeachment inquiry now underway is justified. Hurricane Lee could be the first to make landfall in Maine as a hurricane since 1969.
Lee is tracking northward, bringing impacts along the East Coast, including possible tropical storm conditions for parts of coastal New England and a storm surge threat for southeastern Massachusetts. The Northeast needs to monitor Lee's progress over the weekend.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. 75 degrees right now. Mostly cloudy skies. A little bit gloomy out there this morning. An Escambia County man's been arrested after a drug bust at a home on L and Hernandez Streets. Now, this happened yesterday afternoon. Deputies served a search warrant. 32-year-old Diontres Leverett was arrested for battery and criminal mischief. And the sheriff's office does say, though, during a search of that home, marijuana, cocaine, a stolen firearm, and drug paraphernalia were found. They believe more arrests are possible in this case. A woman accused of killing a man at the Budget Inn last year on Cervantes has now been extradited back to Escambia County. According to Channel 3, 44-year-old Mandy Benales Walsh was booked into the jail Tuesday night. She was extradited back from California. She's charged with first-degree premeditated murder. Last August, police found a man dead in the bathroom of the Budget Inn on Cervantes. A witness tells investigators Benales Walsh and that man were arguing. The autopsy confirmed the man died from strangulation. Gulf Shores police looking for a missing inmate. They say 34-year-old Christopher Bates went missing during his work detail yesterday. He reportedly left his assigned workplace about 11:30 yesterday morning, was last seen on County Road 8. He'd reportedly discarded his inmate clothing and left dressed only in his underwear and a white T-shirt. Investigators believe he may have had an accomplice and fled the area. The city of Milton is not going to be hiring that recruiting firm for their city manager job search. They are re-entering negotiations with Scott Collins three months after he withdrew from consideration after being the unanimous top choice for the job.
If you're asking whether or not I asked him to reconsider, I did not.
Did you let him know about the situation with Don Molinaro's termination?
I did tell him about that circumstance. I gave up. Again, we compared notes. It was about a 20-25 minute phone call on Tuesday before this meeting last week, Tuesday.
And that from Tuesday night's meeting this week. And over the weekend, City Attorney Alex Andrade and other city leaders received an email from Collins saying he was interested in the job again. He sent a contract proposal and said he only wanted to negotiate with Andrade. Fraud investigation is ongoing into possible misuse of funds at Pine Forest High School. According to Channel 3, this investigation involves cheerleading staff after two staff members suddenly resigned. One parent says no explanation was ever given to them.
How am I supposed to know if you're not willing to tell me anything? To not give any follow-up whatsoever, I find strange.
The costs for cheerleaders are about $1,500 a year. That includes three uniforms, but some parents say they didn't get some of those uniforms and they were never given refunds either. The staff members allegedly involved have not been identified. And the state of Florida, now the first in the nation to recommend against COVID boosters for anybody under 65.
Steering the state of Florida in a direction of truth and in a direction of data that benefits Floridians and humans rather than a focus on benefiting corporations or whoever the heck is benefiting from these terrible decisions that we're seeing come out of the CDC and the FDA.
Surgeon General Dr. Joe Latipo making that announcement yesterday. He says that recommendation is based on a lack of human clinical trials and evidence of benefit for the newly approved booster shots. 7:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. The Outcast bait and tackle sale is going on through the 17th. That is what's going on. Somebody texted.
Is it already that time again?
That's what I said. This year's flying by too darn fast.
I know.
It's like a
holiday. And now I got to go to Outcast and buy a bunch of fishing stuff. But that's awesome.
I know. We need to start getting sick early September for pretend. Next year. So we can
absolutely.
Be like, oh man, I just need to go. But that's what that is. And it is slow. It does slow down. It does back up. That's why the patrol cars are there. And it is really fun. But that's what that is. Flashing light at Cervantes and 17th this morning. Yellow has right of way. Red, you do have a complete stop. But of course, better be safe than be right. You know. And when it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner, Barberry. It's Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782. That's traffic on the fives. And if you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you so much for that update, Candy. And if I'm sick next week, I'm really fishing.
It's this
weekend.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We still got two more days.
7:36. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful start to the day with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Highs stay near 90 degrees overnight tonight, dropping into the low 70s. As you go into your Friday, we will have this pattern continue. Slightly cooler for highs with highs near average near 89 degrees, 50% chance of rain. Temperatures overnight Friday dropping back into the low 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 75 in Pensacola. Cloudy and gloomy out there right now. It's 75 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. And our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Bipartisan members of a Senate subcommittee on Homeland Security demanded transparency from a Saudi Arabia investment fund at its second hearing on the controversial deal to merge PGA Tour and Saudi-backed LIV Golf. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut says he has issued a subpoena to USSA International for documents related to the PGA Tour, LIV Golf deal, and other U.S. investments. Blumenthal and witnesses at the hearing accuse Saudi Arabia of mirroring other authoritarian regimes like China and Russia by exploiting loopholes in certain investment platforms to spread their influence and exert soft power within the U.S. Caesars Entertainment reportedly experienced a ransomware cyber attack recently that costed a significant amount of money. The Nevada-based hotel and casino company faced a cybersecurity breach to its network a few weeks ago that resulted in some of its data getting exposed to hackers. Bloomberg News says the hackers received a payment. And that's Your Money Now.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend. While others ride with their growing families. But no matter how many passengers you have, there's a Volkswagen that fits your needs at Feedmore Imports. The 2023 Jetta Sport. The sleek, compact sedan now from $24,361. The Taos S, a sporty crossover with a competitive price of $25,681. The Tiguan S, with the third row, is larger and it's now $28,251. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven passengers and has style and comfort for everyone to enjoy. The 2024 Atlas SE is now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421. And the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and an abundance of tech features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 103 New Warrington Road.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Discount on the ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
Are you looking for your forever floors? We got them.
Hi, we're Buck and Ashley Deese, the proud owners of Deese Elite Concrete Coatings, where we make concrete pretty.
Four times stronger than epoxy with a lifetime warranty. Our coatings are perfect for your garage, patio, pool deck, and more.
For one-day installation, trust the Deese Elite experience, now offering financing.
Get your forever floors by calling us today at 850-329-5599.
We make concrete pretty.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety.
No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 7:41 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, joining us as he does every Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning, she sings back at you. It seems like, you know, I know cops don't like to answer this question exactly, but it seems like things have been pretty quiet in the city.
Well, they were until last night, and this is something we've talked about until we're tired of it, but we're going to have to keep talking about it. We had some vehicle burglaries overnight, and one of them was left unlocked, and guess what? A weapon was taken out of it, a gun. So this is a very dangerous thing. A lot of times these guns end up on the street exactly from things like this, from vehicles being entered that were unlocked. And we had it again. So we just urge people again, if you're going to keep weapons in your vehicle, please, please, please lock those vehicles at night.
Is it legal to keep a gun in your car? I feel like I'm digging deep now, and you may not know because I know sometimes – The laws on guns seem to like change, you know, and they do change like every year. But I thought there was actually something about it being secured, just like how, you know, if you have it in your home, you're supposed to have it secured, that somehow or other keeping it in the car unsecured would be a problem. Am I remembering this wrong?
Well, I'm not. It's okay. You can keep it in the vehicle, but I mean, they're kept in the trunks, they're kept in glove boxes and center consoles,
yeah.
and that sort of thing. But the problem is you have access to all three of those locations when you leave your car unlocked.
Okay. I just
didn't. That's how they're disappearing.
I guess where I'm going with this is what I was kind of thinking out loud is I know that the person who owns the car is the victim of the burglary. But I also wonder if, since we're not going to be able to get the criminals to stop doing this, and we apparently can't seem to get people to lock their stupid cars up, you know, like maybe I don't want to punish gun owners, but if you're dumb enough that you leave your car open with a gun in it, you're jeopardizing all the rest of us. You're jeopardizing other people by making these guns available. I just didn't know if there was any kind of punishment angle that might become a deterrence for the people who are capable of protecting their guns a little bit better. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I see exactly where you're going with it. And, you know, and what's even worse than that is the fact that if I knew that I left my car unlocked and a weapon was stolen out of it and it was later used to kill someone innocent, that's even worse. That's something that I've got to have on my shoulders the rest of my life. So, you know, we hope things like that don't happen, but they simply do.
I totally agree. You guys have, two mental health experts that are going to be coming on board next month to help out with calls that might involve, for example, Baker X or other situations where having an expert like this would be helpful?
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. They'll come on next month in October. They're going to begin training with our officers, riding around the different parts of the city and getting to know the city and the people that will need their services. They will be in the downtown area a lot of the times, getting to know the homeless that are there in other parts of the city and talking to them and getting to know their stories. And being very familiar with them and hopefully can help them. So we're looking forward to that. There's a lot of times that those professionals are needed and phone calls have to be made and time goes by and we need them right now. So hopefully they're going to be working various hours and hopefully that's going to we will complement each other. We will be there for them. They will be there for us.
So if there's going to be, let's say, like, I mean, it won't with two, you can't really staff all of the hours in the week, but maybe they're on call or something. Is that how it's going to work? Is like, you know, your officers are at a call. They would benefit from being, you know, having the mental health professional at the call, and they would let them know, or the dispatch, we know that this is this kind of call. We want you to show up there. How is this going to practically work?
That's exactly it. So if it's a call that may involve a situation to where a mental health professional is needed, they will go. The officers, of course, will go in first to make sure everything is okay, that there's no violence going on and that sort of thing. And then the mental health professionals will go in and do their thing and hopefully solve the situation much faster. You know, a lot of times when you have a uniform there, that can escalate the situation just because there's a uniform there. And we could put someone there that's a professional in this field that's in plain clothes and can diffuse the situation even quicker sometimes.
Very good. We always like to end with something about a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, I was asked about, and this was from a member of the news media, about why we can't hear the Pensacola Police Department on scanners anymore. And, you know, scanners are still sold. They're not as popular as they used to be, and that's because most agencies, including the Pensacola Police Department, several years ago moved to an encrypted signal, which means the signal is scattered all over the airwaves and put back together by the receiving radio, and scanners do not have that capability. So the reason that went that digital route is mostly for an officer safety thing. There's a lot of information that goes over the radio that we don't need people to hear for an officer safety standpoint and the safety of the citizens that we serve.
That's fine by me. I'm always, your job matters more than my job, you know? So if I don't have the ability to monitor your traffic, so to speak, over the air, but it helps keep your officers safe or helps you apprehend bad guys who also don't have access to the scanners, you know, I'm okay with that. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time and thanks for helping keep us safe, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
7:46 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for you.
And if you have traffic tips, you can text those in at 437-1620. This is brought to you by New South Window Solutions. Flashing light at Cervantes and 17th this morning. Outcast Bait and Tackle is having their annual sale.
I like bait and tickle.
I know. That sounded like, that sounds horrifying. No, thank you. Is having their sale this morning and going on all the way through the weekend. And it is like a big holiday. That's another thing. Like yesterday, the frivolous topic, tell me you're not from Pensacola without
right.
telling me you're
you
not
don't
from
know
Pensacola.
The outcast
and that's
tackles.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's
and
right.
it's a huge, it's like a holiday.
Why is there so
and it's
much
fun.
Traffic? Why is there so
but,
much traffic?
But that's
here?
What that is. 297A and Sandy Crest Drive in Cantonment showing an accident with no roadblock this morning. Pine Forest Road and Copeland, the same accident, but no roadblock. And use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text those in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Candy's Bait and Tickle. The
oh
first,
my God.
The first
Pass.
Date store.
Gross. Nope.
Hey, do you, I love
That's
it.
Where you break up.
Yeah. Do you love your car? I mean, if I ask you that question, is the question annoying because you're like, no. Oh, I don't want to. Okay. When you get up in the morning and then you do your breakfast, you know, you get dressed, you take your shower, whatever you do, and then you start to walk out to your car, is there a part of you that's like, ugh, not again? Right? Or is there a part of you that's like, I hope it works. Okay. You deserve better. All right, go to Frontier Motors, look around, see what they've got, 300 cars and trucks and vans and Jeeps and all kinds of stuff, and get a car you're going to love. Or, you know, get a car that you're at least not apprehensive about getting into, that you don't dread. You shouldn't dread your car. You spend enough time in it, you should at least enjoy it a little bit. So go find yourself a good quality, almost new used car. 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. That's what Frontier specializes in. Selling cars to the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. At Anderson, we know Subarus are built better, and we're not the only ones who think so. Subarus earn more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands since 2013 as of July 2023. When it comes to safety, Subarus are better. And when it comes to longevity, well, Subaru wins there too. According to a study by Experian Automotive, Subaru leads the industry in longevity with 96% of vehicles sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. More than Honda or Toyota brands. Hands down, Subaru has the longest lasting vehicles in the automotive industry, all of which makes it easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Visit us on Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or shop us online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Based on Experian Automotive non-luxury vehicles in operation excluding trucks and vans versus total new registrations for model years 2013 through 2022 as of December 2022.
Jeep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep down field! Touchdown, FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone, picked off,
game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who do you know so much about swallows?
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.
And we rode motorcycles, blackjack, classic vinyl, tough girl is what I had to be. It's a day. Of your mother, watch out for your sister. And all that when he gave to me with his gun and his head held high, he told me not to cry.
You recognize this song? You know this song at all?
Definitely not.
Beyonce.
This is Beyonce?
With his right hand.
This was, it does a little bit. This was off of an album of hers that came out maybe a year or two ago, and I kind of stumbled across it. I was listening, like, I didn't particularly love most of it, but I'm like, oh, this is good. I like this.
Wow. She keeps coming up on TikTok. Blue Ivy does the dance.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I guess there's a song from The Lion King.
I don't have the TikTok. I ignore the TikTok. I don't, because, you know.
Because you do
national
news.
National security. Yeah.
752. That's all the news I watch. How do I do the Blue Ivy dance?
News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Forecasters are predicting Hurricane Lee will hit the New England coast by this Friday. The National Hurricane Center says it'll likely be a large and dangerous storm when that happens. CEOs from some of America's biggest and most influential companies and White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients will be meeting today to talk about refugee resettlement and sponsorship programs. They're among leaders affiliated with Welcome US, a group dedicated to helping support refugees. And a federal judge has found DACA to be illegal again. Judge Andrew Hannon from the Southern District of Texas found that a rule that turns the policy into a federal regulation violates the Administrative Procedure Act, which governs how agencies can make regulations.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I mentioned at the bottom of the hour, I didn't have much time to go into the detail, but mentioned that some people refer to it as a homeless park, but it's the Bellevue Park, or I think it might officially be titled the Palafox Park. But that's that one right across from Brentwood. My goodness. My brain. I'm Palafox, right south of
Brentwood, I think. Yeah.
Brentwood, yeah. Bellevue is the one over on Mobile. Excuse me. Anyway, that park is being turned into the tax collector's office. You know, they're building a big building there. They're basically going to preserve the play structure and, like, the walkway, and then a lot of the rest of that stuff is going to go away, including, I think, some of the trees, or many of the trees, maybe not all the trees. But that was a very popular homeless park where they would, you know, because the Alfred Washburn Center is sort of across the street and down the road, right, a little bit. And it was down at the dead end of that road is where that big property that, you know, there'd been a lot of campments that had been, you know, violation of code. And that's been a big drama over the last, you know, couple of months, really. But anyway, this park where, I mean, at this park, it would sometimes get cleaned up, and then you'd have, I mean, just to be fair in the description, so much home, there'd be trash there, there'd be people camping there. That's where they had food distributions there. And now with that unavailable, I mean, they're having to go, you know, other places. Anyway, I happened to be driving by that area the other day, and I'd heard Scott Lunsford talking about it and shot a video. It's up on our Facebook page if you want to see it for yourself. And then, you know, eventually there's going to be like a little community center aspect to that tax collector's office. That's one of the things that Lumen May wants. They had to vacate. The way I understand it is they had to vacate their W Street location because there were problems with the building that if they stayed there, the county would basically have to be responsible for fixing up the building. And so instead of fixing up a building, they're building a new facility, which is going to have all kinds of new features and amenities, and actually services that Scott Lunsford has said will serve the homeless community a little bit better than they're able to serve them now. So that's what's going on if you happen to drive past that on Palafox, south of Brent. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like this light at 17th and Cervantes is working properly now, so you shouldn't have any problems in that area. Pine Forest and Cope Lane showing an accident, but no roadblock. And the same with 297A in Cantonment at Sandy Crest Drive. It looks like the front gate of Pensacola NAS is moving smoothly. It was a little backed up this morning, but not like it has been, so just fine. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, certainly let us know. It looks a little slow on I-10 westbound over the Escambia Bay Bridge. It doesn't look like an accident, so I'm not sure what that is. I'll take a look on our cameras in just a second, but just slow in the bridge, and again, that is westbound. If you see or have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So we had kind of I don't know, an odd thing that is going to be at the Pensacola City Council meeting tonight. It's not, I mean, they're going to pass it. It's not controversial in that sense, but it was funny to hear them talking about it during the agenda review. This is Council President Delarian Wiggins.
Item number 26, supporting Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT, temporary road closure, SR 30, US 98, Gregory Street from Palafox Street to east of 14th Avenue.
Okay, so Gregory Street is going to have a fairly significant closure from Palafox over to 14th, and it's temporary. So he reads the item, and Jared Moore's like, wait, why is this even on our agenda?
I was just curious why we had to have a resolution for this.
Good question. This is a new wrinkle. I'll let Brad describe this, but yes, we would have had road closures before this that have not come before you.
You don't typically have to have road closure votes at the city. They just kind of close the road and work on it and then open it back up, and you know, it just is what it is. Brad, and I don't know who this Brad is, I apologize, but anyway, this is who DC mentioned, and he gets up and he says,
President, Councilman Moore, we concur with the oddity associated with this resolution.
Yeah, it's weird.
To that end, we contacted the Department of Transportation to determine where the need for the resolution came from. Their legal counsel advised us that their new policy is that the local municipality will sign a resolution to agree to both the shutdown of the road as well as usage of city roads as the detour.
Well, that could get fun in a year with lots of repaving projects. All right.
Well, you'll be hearing about them.
That's true.
So it's a permission slip? Like, we're going to close this road and we want you to acknowledge receipt of the fact that we're going to close. It's like the city having to say, like, to publicly say, okay, fine, close the road. I don't know what caused this. I don't know why FDOT's requiring this, but it seems like, you know, maybe they're just bitter about people complaining about road closures and they want to be like, well, your leaders knew about this because they have an official declaration that they accept it.
But no, and I think what we've talked about as staff as well, administration, is if it seems like perhaps a little oddity, to use Brad's term, it'll give us a better opportunity to make sure that our constituents know these are happening. A lot of things flying around, and so if nothing else, it'll be a good marker for us to make sure that we're out cascading that information perhaps better than we were before. So glass half full. So.
Yeah, there we go.
That is a very, very glass half full reaction to it. That's just like, where's your hall pass? Where's our hall pass for doing this road closure? Okay, fine, whatever. Oh, and they're going to be voting tonight to rename a portion of 9th Avenue, ceremonially not on the street signs, as Lewis Bear Jr. Way.
Well, that's
going to
awesome.
Be on the agenda tonight as well.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.